Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing?
I just took a big sip of coffee while you were talking.
Ooh-wee, was it nice and sweet? With that sweet, sweet cream in there?
We put sweet cream in it. Wait, you don't have a coffee. I thought you said you were having one.
Yeah, I don't know where mine went.
Do you want to stop and
nope.
Go get it?
No, okay. I do not. I have lots to talk about today.
Things are fine.
Yeah.
We're going to do a check. We're going to do the Patreon check-in. We're going to record it.
That's right. The monthly check-in later today. For October.
For the month of October.
That's right.
Yeah, because we retroactively do review it. We go through the days. Previous month.
Yeah, for the check-in.
Complicated enough for everybody. But yeah, if you're wondering what I was like fucking in October.
Norm, it's a sum up of the month and then what to look forward to for
I don't
this
remember
month.
What I ate for breakfast today. I'm going to remember all of October.
Hey, you signed off on this idea, man. You had your chance to stop me.
You have a shirt. You have a new... You just opened a package with a new shirt.
That's right. That's why I said we've got to record right now. It is the new merch available on TeePublic. Believe in yourself. Believe in your body.
That's
where I got
on
this one. Yep. Believe in yourself. Believe in your body.
Looks great. Same font as the logo.
And
font.
Here's another thing. Sonar, okay. The NAR, our network, is
I only
also
know
doing
them
a merch
as the NAR.
As the NAR. The NAR is also doing a merch store where... Self-Esteem Party merch is available as well.
But they have but that's only in Canada.
I don't know if it ships to the U.S.
Oh, well, we should find out.
Yeah, we should find out and report back.
Because the NAR is a Canadian thing, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's why we want a Canadian. That's why we want a Canadian podcast to work.
That's right. Yeah.
We're huge news. We're kind of an international delight. Heard of it? It's another creamer.
Mostly creamer-based comedy for everybody listening.
I once booked an international delight commercial, and I got cut. So I haven't had the creamer since.
You got the knife.
I got a knife
from the cream
an international
commercial.
Delight creamer commercial.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Seems like it was not a delight.
Yeah, Norm, you got a busy week coming up.
International incident.
Speaking of incident, can I just say, I got feedback from numerous people that said, in last week's episode, in the intro with you, when I was like, oh, I was really shocked in this upcoming interview, see if you guys can notice, everyone was like, that didn't happen. You were not speechless. I was like, what?
Oh.
And everyone was like, it didn't happen. There was like no pause. And what I came to realize is that it was my face that was making a dramatic pause.
Right. Your face had instant rigor mortis frozen in time.
And I guess apparently I kept chatting. Kind of like the butterfly effect. Yeah. Where it's like you black out, but you don't realize you're still going.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're,
anyways,
you're like a ventriloquist dummy that the mouth is locked.
Exactly. Thank you. So I wanted to report back. That was my incident. Busy week coming up.
Yeah, hugely busy.
Hugely busy. And no new merch to get you through it.
Wait, did I? Yeah, you're right. No new merch. Wait, I was like, wait a minute. Did I design and create? Did I create new merch for myself? Wait a minute.
Yeah, Norm,
I don't have a single merch.
But what about the new merch?
It's your shirt.
Hey, man, it's my shirt.
Let's
you're
get
just
some,
living in
let's
it.
Let's get some Norm Krabby shit on the...
Oh, my God, Norm, do you want your own shirt?
Yeah.
We've got a designer. She'll do it no problem.
Says the Norm check-in. I don't know.
Norm, that's a lot of text.
Okay, whatever. Just put a picture of a fucking...
I think it should just say, okay, whatever.
Flamingo drinking a beer.
Hey, these are good ideas, guys. Don't take them. We got a great guest this week.
Do we?
Such a treat to see her. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yes, it's Emily.
Yeah. Norm.
What?
You love a spoiler.
It's the name of the podcast.
But the people.
Spoiler alert. It's not like every single time you just write, it's a mystery, click on it or whatever.
It should be. And then it can be like a sweepstakes for a guess.
Yeah. So then what? What's the name of the podcast? Just question marks? What are you, the Riddler?
These are more good ideas for podcasts. Yes.
That's
my
a new
guess.
Shirt.
We've just known each other.
Self-esteem party. I'm the Riddler now.
Can we just do that? Why not?
Yeah, I guess. You can do anything.
If any of you guys have a cool design for us with any of these ideas we've given, please send the design to @selfesteemparty on Instagram and Twitter, or selfesteemparty@gmail.com. We will print the design. Yeah. I swear to God, I will buy my own merch of
#hashtag
the design.
Flamingo beer.
Which is just one of the many great ideas tossed out.
Yeah.
Yes, this guest, long-time friend of mine. We went on a mini tour.
No, it's first time on.
Thrilled to talk to her. I had already seen her, but thrilled to catch up anyways.
Because such good friends.
That's what I'm saying. And after the episode, she went on a deep dive in her phone. No, through her Instagram, and found the posts that we were talking about of the different hangs in the tour that we went on.
Oh, okay.
So it was very cool. She sent those to me. Those are private. Okay, let's get to it.
So you told the audience to look out for them. And
those are private photos on a public Instagram.
Don't look at them. Whatever you do.
Stay away from me and my private photos. Let's get to it, Norm.
I think so, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Emily Maya Mills right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
She never listens.
Emily, welcome to the podcast. Recording the laugh.
Yes, you were.
Welcome. My dog is settled now. We can record.
Your darling concrete daughter.
My concrete dense daughter. And I'm not talking intellectually, but dense. Like, you can't move her. She's like a cinder block. Like, when she doesn't want to move, good night.
Yeah. She's like a battleship. I really get that immediately.
She's exactly like a battleship.
When I was a kid, there was like a bomber plane. And this is how old I am. In San Francisco, there was just a plane in the middle of a park. And they filled it with concrete and they called it a play structure. And everyone broke their teeth and arms on it. But that's what she reminds me
what?
Of.
What?
Yeah, it was the 80s. You know?
Oh my God. So just loosely at the park?
Yeah, just that was the play structure. You just crawl up on it, fall off, get up on top.
People got on the wings?
Yeah. There were ladders to get up on it, but
this is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, it was. Every single person I know chipped either a tooth or
both. Did you?
Yeah, I chipped my tooth. Yep.
A badge of honor. Badge of honor. Anything.
Yeah.
Emily, it's so wonderful to see your face. How are you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of your self-esteem today?
Ooh, that is, you know what? A pretty solid 9.
Wow!
I just had a great therapy session.
Okay, you don't have to give us the details, but can we talk about why it felt so good?
Yeah, you know what? This is going to be great for this show specifically, because I just had this experience where I shot a movie in quarantine, like 3 of us in a house. It was super limited, very restricted. Mm-hmm. And then it was finished in quarantine and sort of like the screenings were virtual. And there was this thing happening where, you know, you start to wonder, time was going by, right? And I'm starting to wonder, like, is this movie going to, just in my own head, is this movie going to hold up against films that didn't have those restrictions,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Because you did it all in a vacuum and then people were out there shooting. I was at USC. It was my final film for this degree. And there were a lot of restrictions. Like we were handcuffed. Like it was.
For COVID compliance. Yeah. They were like taking it seriously.
Super serious. Okay. Like it was supposed to be virtual, but essentially it was the 3 of us in an Airbnb. And then we had my whole team on Zoom, but it was like a full production and every single like body.
Oh
of the
my God.
From PD to AD to every, it, you know, sound, the whole thing.
It sounds exhausting because it sounds, I know someone who did a shooting, like kind of a bigger shoot in quarantine, and everybody has to go in one by one and set things up. And it like took forever. Yeah. They said it took so long.
Yeah. And in this situation, I had to go in one by one and set everything
God.
Up. It was just me and the actresses and like, it was insane. It was like one of the physically and mentally most difficult 12 days of just not like bad, meaning like most taxed I've ever been in every direction. And so you get through it and like, we were really happy with the experience and what we got. And then you're sort of, these months are going by and you're like, will anyone ever see it? What if it doesn't compare to people who didn't have these types of restrictions? So I got to go to my first film festival with it in Utah last week, and it was so fun and it was so adorable, and to be able to hear it with an audience and hear feedback in the moment and gasps and laughs and like comments and have people coming up to you like 2 days later, like, well, I can't, I was trying to explain it to my wife and I couldn't, it was, I just kept laughing. I couldn't get through it or
people
whatever.
Having marital problems. Yeah.
Right. Right.
No, I hear you loud and clear. And they're coming to you and they're coming to you.
Who do you think is an audience?
It's the audience.
But the nice thing was that what we were able to process in this like therapy session was like what you actually do to yourself when you're in the void, which is that negative speak or this idea that I had created in my mind that it wouldn't compare. This was all somersaults I was doing.
Yeah.
And then to have the evidence on the other side, which was truly like the opposite side of, you know, the looking glass or whatever. It was just like the exact opposite of experience of being a live performer who can't get any feedback. Right.
Oh my God. The theme of the podcast during the pandemic, my God, the amount that like for a lot of people talking about, you know, what kind of made us crack in that moment is people were like, I thought I wasn't funny anymore.
Yeah.
Like everyone was like, I just assumed I was done.
Yeah.
Because that was it. There was no more laughs. I just assumed, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no feedback.
Yeah.
It's a very painful thing for a live.
But it went well.
Yeah. It was incredible. And so what it showed is like, in a way, can't you take that experience and kill the negative speak or the negative tape or the, you know, what we do to ourselves when we're in the void, right? Is it necessary to do that when, in fact, once you get out there and there's feedback again, you know that your instincts are good and your creations are good and all that stuff? Like, can we take that as a learning lesson of, like, it's not necessary to do that to ourselves?
It's like a living a future fear, like of an outcome that does not exist, that we, no matter what, cannot predict.
Right.
Because anything can happen, as we know in the world, anything can happen. But it's really like, it's really hard to not get negative, even though you have proof of positive. So it's like when you're in that, you know what I mean? You make another film, whatever. And it's like, you're worried people aren't going to see it, whatever, whatever. You get back in that exact headspace and you're like, wait a minute. Last time I did this, it turned out it was okay. Sometimes I have a hard time with the repetition about being like, yeah, but this time it won't.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
And I've been on a really good kick lately of being positive, but there's like a few things in my life that I'm having a hard time, turning around and seeing the positive that is actually happening. Like, I don't mean thinking positive or having hope. I mean, like getting good news, but being like, yeah, but this can't be real.
Right.
Or, but it's not going to stay like, it's not going to stay like this. It's not safe to feel okay or settled. Mm-hmm. So it's so nice that you got to have that moment, present moment while it was happening to be like, oh no, it's working. It's going, we're okay. Mm-hmm. It's all working out. Mm-hmm. Everything's going great. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I'm in a thing just recently, but I'm in a thing where for some topics, I'm just like too scared to almost enjoy myself or celebrate or do you know what I mean?
Because
You're
like bracing for it. The possibility of devastation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so wait, what's the plan with the film? Like, if it held up and it went well and everything, do you want to take it other places or are you like, okay, that exists in this thing. Now I want something like, mentally, I know for a lot of people making stuff during the pandemic, which is still going on, but during the height of things, pre-vaccine and all that stuff, you know, that's really intense and you're in a certain headspace. Well, we're in a different headspace now because the situation's a little bit different. So are you feeling like you want to leave that behind or you're like, bring on the next?
Well, I was definitely...
What is it?
Yeah, no, I was definitely in a space previously where I was sort of grieving or mourning. I was like, okay, so the thesis that I worked on for over a year that got killed because it was a muscle car road comedy that wasn't going to happen. It was like, she's supposed to shoot in May of 2020. So,
oh, there you go.
So that was completely killed, which is how I ended up moving on to this other film, which was an amazing experience. But when I got, you know, I got out and on the other side, it was like, okay, I think I might have to grieve and sort of mourn the idea that that was the, you know, full-blown advanced production thesis showpiece.
Yeah.
And start focusing on what kind of actual sort of thesis piece I still need to make, not because this wasn't wonderful, but because it was so restricted.
Yeah.
Well, the feedback was so encouraging, and seeing it play and also having that like breaking the seal on the festival run experience, which is a learning, everyone kept saying that I met there, who were all really wonderful people, and the curators were really wonderful. It's like there's a learning curve to it. So I do kind of feel now like, oh, this is just the beginning, because another part of it was that I got to see it on in a megaplex in an actual movie theater.
Oh my God. Oh, that must have felt so good. Oh my God. So legit. That's so great. Congrats.
I know.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was so big scale.
It was just, I think it was like, there was a little daisy chain of theaters, and this was one of them. You know how festivals like have a bunch of different venues.
Yeah. Yeah. And different times.
So it just so happened that, it was really fun. And a lot of the films I saw at that festival were so inspiring. So that there's that.
Yeah.
But what I did see was that something that I had wondered and definitely thought was that we had no opportunity to color correct because it was done by a student. And usually SC has these color grading labs and the monitors are calibrated and it's pretty legit.
In the school. Oh, and then they don't have access.
We didn't have access. So
okay.
Now that I've seen it on the big screen, I'm planning to petition and fight for the opportunity to go back in for color, because I think there are some issues that can get fixed and that will bode well for future submissions, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm actually really, really excited to keep pushing it.
I mean, if it's just that one thing, I feel like they can let you do it, because it's like,
it won't change the picture lock. So,
And is it really time? I mean, I don't know anything. Is it really time consuming? Is it something where it's like, I have to be there for the next month straight, or what's it like?
No, I think it's about really just allowance. And like, usually with these films, they're very much locked up and no one can ever touch them again, because that keeps everything fair. But because it wasn't a fair situation and none of us ever got to see the film on any kind of consistent monitor among us, even like you're just sending it from one person's calibrated monitor to another person's
You're fair, because it's like that everybody got the same opportunity to make the project, so then because it's part of the school.
Right.
Got it.
So that's why it's usually so locked up once it's done. But in this case, I feel like we have a very fair shot at making, petitioning for possibly, fingers crossed.
This is your rent forgiveness. It's your color correct forgiveness.
Yes. Thank you.
We took out $1 trillion of color correcting and we're going to hand it out to everybody that needs it. If anybody needs it, you're getting it. Thank you. Get ready, you guys.
Thank you.
I've been a part of your journey here as you went back to school. I was in one of your earlier films, and and I will say this, I play the prestigious role of party host, and I wore your jumper, which was sensational.
On you in particular.
It was so good, man. And I all night, everyone was like, you look amazing. I was like, thank you. And I just stopped giving you credit for it, and I was like, thank you so much. Yes.
For the audience, just to paint a picture, it's black and white leopard print jumper with wing arms,
and like shoulder pad winged arms, like I can't even describe it. And then it like tapers in at the bottom, like, and I'm really short and it fit me perfectly. So like, good. Oh my God, it was such huge news.
I have to say, when I bought that, the guy, it was like for my, before we were getting married. So maybe went like a Jack and Jill or something like that. And the sales dude said, I remember I tried it on, it came out and he goes, oh my God, look at your little butt. And that's how I felt when I saw you in it. It's like a good jumper for
juicy. Oh my God. Butts. So this is how we know, like, when it's time, like, what is it? Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants? Yes. Sisterhood of the Traveling Tiny Butt.
Little juicy butt.
I'll take it.
Yes.
But what was it like going back to school, like, later on? And what was it like? What was it like with your class? I mean, this is because you had started previous to the pandemic to bring everyone up to speed. So originally before all that stuff. But what was that like for you?
And it was great. It was crazy.
Why'd you do it?
Well, I mean, I definitely,
we never talked about it. Why'd you do it?
No, it's a really good question. And like the folks who mentors who wrote my letters of recommendation had the same questions. Like, why do you want to do this, before they were willing to like spend the time to write it? And because we've been in comedy and performance for a long time at UCB, we've been writing, we've been producing, we've been making.
Oh my God.
Stuff.
Yeah. We met so long ago, and my God, you're such a content, pusher outer there. You got you're making all kinds of shit.
Well, one thing is that I was never really focused on posterity because I was so kind of addicted to live performance, and I really loved being focused on that. And I also, though, like, I always treated like our sketch, you know, mod experience as like, I did want to push for like real little pieces of theater if you're going to do it, or if you're going to make a video, make it, you know, push it and make it real cinema. You know, like I was always in, that was my interest, was like taking those opportunities to sort of make them as deep creatively as possible. So I think that I'd always wanted to direct, and ultimately, like, you know, as you have, I'm multi-hyphenate in comedy. It was like, I did improv, I did sketch, I did character stuff, I did stand up.
Yeah.
Well, I just didn't want to like open mic another thing on the weekends for 7 years and cobble together, you know, friends. I wanted to figure it out. I really wanted to do it and be viable in a concentrated amount of time.
Yeah.
And it was certainly concentrated.
You know, film school. Every weekend. Yeah. You were every single weekend, like you disappeared. Yeah. You literally disappeared.
It was crazy.
And in a good way, we all knew you were doing stuff. So nobody's taking anything personally.
Yeah.
But no, you disappeared off the face of the planet.
Yeah,
and any picture you posted was something on set. Like you had no social life.
Yeah. It was crazy.
We didn't see you. You missed the football games and everything. Yeah. It was like you were always busy.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
To the point where like when I finished this film, I was, I think we screened it for a little like online screening.
Mm-hmm.
I had just graduated, walked the day before, I think, and was inoculated the next day, like 14 days out from my second dose, all on the same day. And like my brain and my being, I want to say, turned into like dust. I was like, I was a molecular just glitter pile of like, I was out of body for like months afterwards, as you can glitter imagine. Glitter
pile. That's you being out of body. Yeah. I was a glitter pile, as you can relate, Alana.
Yes,
yeah, okay. Me. No, you're right. I also think of myself as this. Been there.
And I know it because I've spent 9 hours in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport with my glitter pile.
Guys, wait. We need to finish on school and then we need to tell that story. But
Alana's greatest birthday ever.
The greatest birthday ever. Stay tuned in 1 second because you just completed the school year. But what I want to know is like, because most of the, like, was it a younger crowd that was there?
Yeah.
So what was that like? Like in terms of like, I mean, you know, we've been in comedy for so long and we are a little hardened.
Mm-hmm.
And usually mm-hmm. when you're coming up, you're a little more like excitable and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what was it? And coming from the live side,
mm-hmm.
What was that like working with everybody when you know more and have more under your belt?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was intimidating at first, just like being the older kid in the crowd, right?
Yeah.
Like,
old Lady Mills, as they called you.
Old Lady Mills, oldest lady in college.
Oldest lady in the school.
My stand-up joke about it is that it's like they want you an excused absent, you know, and I'm like, I'll just write a letter for myself.
Yeah, I can't busy. Make it.
I'm always busy being a grown-ass woman. Mind your business.
They check the signature?
Yeah. This has been forged. So a little intimidating, like, as far as, like, sort of fitting into that sea. Mm-hmm. But I think it was really beneficial for all of us, you know, like to have one sort of like veteran LA person in the cohort who has some experience. It turned out like we all and they're all coming, all these youngins are coming with, they're coming like competitive. They are hungry and they are,
I can only imagine,
really talented, like super, super talented. So the level of their, you know, intense focus and talent level and my sort of like what I was coming with professionally under my belt was ended up being a really nice match in terms of like being able to mentor or pair. Like I learned so much from some folks that I consider like some of my best friends from school, just about camera. Like I was so intimidated about camera. Well, you're intimidated about performance. Well, you know, we come together and like just kind of have each other's backs in this production atmosphere. And and there was just like a lot to be gained. And I think talent wise, creativity wise, creative confidence wise, there was a lot of mutual respect that got earned, you know, pretty much right away and early on. And we all grew together in this really crazy experience.
Well, it's like you were just from experience on set with you and having done a million shows with you, you were a really good actor's director. And Norm is the same way because you guys have the live show experience. And I'm not saying anyone can be any kind of director. Hello, of course. But for me, having worked with both of you, and just something I noticed you have in common is you're really good at not necessarily giving a line read, but getting something out of the actor or giving an example of like this. And we're like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because
you can work quick like that.
So I will say it was really fun working on your set, and like hopefully in terms of the mechanics of it all, you got everything you wanted. I don't know as much about that, but it made for a really good experience. And I'm sure a lot of the younger guys in the course really benefited from seeing you do that, because if you haven't been around actors and performers as much, sometimes you don't know how to talk to them, and they can seem intimidating because they're being like the funny one and the star. Totally. But you're like, yes, but I'm also like running the show here, but I don't know how to talk to you. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. And I think a lot of these talented kids are coming from a background in a talent for photography or picture or visual.
Yeah.
And being able to match that, because sometimes, you know, we've all seen movies where it's like, cool, cool, but I don't understand.
Yes, I've seen a movie. Yes. You go on. My new character, woman who has seen a movie but is a little skeptical about it.
Just the one.
Yeah.
And my new character, the person who found out that people let Elena out of the house.
You guys got to see her face. She's going, excuse me.
Someone let her see a movie.
And when was this? I'm really glad that you guys got to grow together, because I've definitely done some courses and stuff like that where I, back when I was in Toronto, came back, you know, as more of the adult of the class. And boy, was I left out, let me tell you.
Yeah,
nobody had the time or rhyme for old Lady Johnston.
Yeah, that can happen. I mean, it can happen.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because you might have had this experience or you might not have, but did you ever do some of the sort of, not Story Pirates, but there was another one where you
Yes, I did. I know the exact one you're talking about, and yes, I did do it.
Right?
Yes.
You know, throughout LA, there's where you do little pieces of theater for kids where they've written the plays, and then you come in and they cast you and you do a big show. Well, I remember being in my like early 30s, maybe late 20s, where I was already like, to the kids, I was not getting cast as the princess. I was not, you know, they're like, lady, get you and your brown hair and your earthy style.
Can you read? Okay, narrator.
I know. They're just like, and I'm all for it. They're like, grandma. And I'm like, perfect.
Sound effects. Okay.
Yeah, kids are ageist.
Yeah, they are. Excuse me. And to all the young listeners out there, please press stop. This podcast isn't for you. It's the oldies only.
I will say that I've just been thinking about this recently, because ageism is like really the most embarrassing of the
isms.
Isms, yeah. Where like it'd be like, because you're going to get there. And then
I know. You're like, you hope. Yeah. There.
So it's a little bit like being whatever ist against the very thing that you're, and then you have to become that thing. It's like if you're a misogynist, but at the end of your life, you always become a woman. Isn't that hilarious? Right?
What a great idea. Just for everyone to have a tasty treat of what it's like to be us. Did you know, I just found out what, am I saying it right? Chugi?
Yes.
Yes. I just found out about this and that I'm it.
Yeah.
And that's really bumming me out. If anyone out there does not know what it means, it means like uncool, or you're old, well, you're like Gen.
It means like classic in a way that's beyond basic, but like so dumb. So like, I guess chugy is like lasagna is chugy. Like it's just like too.
And I think it's delicious.
I know. This is so funny because I heard it and I tweeted and I got one like on what I thought was the best take on it in the world, which is chugy as a plate of pasta and proud of it. which then I signed off a slogan coming to an apron at a Pier 1 Imports like any day next week. You know what I mean? Like,
it's 100%. It's coming. Winter is coming. And it's Chuggy.
Chuggy of the Planet Pasta. Proud of it, baby.
Yeah, that's like that's the new version of I Like My Attitude Problem t-shirt. Which, weirdly enough, I was just thinking about today for some reason.
Man, and I never even a Christmas present picked out for you.
I never even owned one before, so there was kind of really no reason for me to be like reminiscing of a shirt I never had. Okay, Emily, let's tell our epic Dallas Fort Worth story.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, guys, so we're heading. Emily has just released an album and has very kindly asked me to travel on a mini tour to Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, to a lovely theater to do my self-esteem party songs and then for you to do your comedy album. And we were like, I was opening, and but we both had pretty good sized bills. Oh, they kept us in there. So I was like, we both had pretty good sized sets, which was really nice. Okay, so we go to Dallas Fort Worth, sold out show.
Amphibian Stage, by the way, yeah, sold
Amphibian
out.
Amphibian Stage, and we got the shirts, that's yes, right.
Yes, and they're on their way back right now. I just saw that they're just now getting audiences back in. Fort Worth, Amphibian Stage is great. And the nice thing about
nicest
that place,
people, nicest and took ever. Us out afterwards to party and get some drinks, and oh my God, we had such a good time.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, it was awesome. And the nice thing about that stage, too, is this is my secret dream, is to, like, for people like us, and I was talking to Mo about this, too, where our comedy is, like, could live more vibrantly outside of comedy clubs, if that makes sense. So yes. Like a theater with a built-in theater with a built-in theater audience, which Amphibian had. They had their own mailing list, and so they had their own crowd, and they were perfect for us. And
yeah,
I was like, that's the tour that we should, like, I want to develop that tour so bad.
Dude, we walked out and everyone was like, what? But like, so, remember that? Oh my God, that sweet old lady in the wheelchair that just loved us and bought the albums.
Oh, yes.
She had like the best time. And I was like, this woman's, albums. I was like, this woman's 100. I love her.
They were okay, amazing.
So whatever we do, sold out show, it goes so great. We go out, we have drinks with everyone, whatever. The next day, we go, no, wait. On the way there, we missed our...
Did we miss our first flight?
We missed our first flight on the way there.
I half remember. How did we do that? We missed it. Of course we did.
It was because we were at LA... Oh, no. Yes, because we were at LAX trying to find the parking. Remember? We were trying to find that parking garage on the way there.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was like a total disaster. So you already know... You know, when you travel, the way the trip starts is the way the trip ends. So it started with rocky physical travel. We're getting along great. We're keeping it cool, but physically rocky travel. Okay. Mm-hmm. So whatever. We have that bad luck. We get there. We have a great time. We go to fly out the next day and it's my birthday and I have the party and you have Frogtown.
Yes.
Yes. You have the outdoor show. Yes. And... We go to the airport. We're like, this is going to be great. We got an early flight. Fantastic. We're going to do all this stuff. We're like talking about it, talking about birthday stuff, whatever. The flight gets canceled. And we're like, okay. And they're like, be another one in 2 hours, blah, blah, blah. This goes on for
9 hours.
9 hours.
I mean, and they had us running around the airport trying to catch
changing flights. Changing gates, trying to catch flights. We're on the wait list of everything, but they like, no, we got
standby, a standby.
Yes,
like,
we got meal tickets, but I lost mine. Remember that?
And yes, we went, and it was your
and it was my birthday, and we went to that restaurant and got, and that guy felt so bad for us and kept bringing his appetizers. We went to that like seafood boat restaurant.
Our lives. It was amazing. we're in the bowels of Dallas Fort Worth, literally in the butthole of the airport for and it's
hours.
Known.
We were there for hours.
It is known. Like I think that airport is known to like eat people's souls. Like people get stuck in there.
Oh my God, it was terrible. And I will say this, it was one of the funnest travel times of my life because we at first like we were kind of getting upset at one point and like kind of breaking, but then it was like it became so long that it just became funny again. Because we were like we just kept being like there's classic. No fucking way. And then it kept canceling.
But then the way that we got on a flight, do you remember that? We
I
were at
do.
One gate.
Yes.
Where like they were counting off the standbys and they're like down to the last and then they're like, nope, sorry, none for you. And then somebody announced another gate like two behind us, right?
Yes,
we turned around,
yes.
ran with our tickets and they just let us on.
They just let us in. Like, it was like no checking. They barely read the ticket and it was like we just ran onto a flight. Like, thank God we had carry-on.
Yeah.
We just ran onto a flight. That was it.
Yeah.
God. I canceled my party. You did the show.
Did I? Oh, yeah.
You did. You went. Yes, you did. I was very proud of you. Very professional.
Wow. I would never do that now post-pandemic.
Oh my God, never. What are you, out of your mind?
Like, if I drive back, you know, if I got some big travel day, it has to be a full day ahead. And even then, I'm like,
oh my God. Maybe. If I go somewhere and my flight gets canceled, I'm just going to move there. I'm going to set up shop. I'm not going to sit here and deal with this time at the airport. It's like, welcome to my new home. I live here now. Yep. I live in the airport now.
More people don't do that.
I'm surprised more people don't just live somewhere.
Just Tom Hanks it forever.
Oh, that movie. Ugh. Terminal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got out. Good for him.
He got out.
It's tough. It's not easy. It's not easy to get out of living in an airport for a year and a half.
That's a hard transition to make.
But he did. I was proud of him. And he got a girlfriend, I think, out of the deal, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they all do. All the men are crazy.
And I should know. I'm a couple of them. Okay, Emily. School's done.
School's done. Yeah,
we reviewed the perfect birthday. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
Fun stuff. Yeah. It's been so fun because the nice thing is I get to kind of think about these. I now have two routes that I do want to make, like these sort of larger, bigger budget shorts, but like a little bit more like a fully fulfilled, you know, slightly more funded, bigger short that has some scope to it.
Okay.
Now that we're out. And so there's two routes that I wanted to take with that. Both of those would require raising money or someone just giving me a bunch or whatever.
I'll do it.
And then in the meantime, I got to shoot a really cute short with Lindsay Ames that is so, so fun. It's something that was her script, her idea, real true story actually that I gotta say, it's just so fun. It's scary and funny. It's a true story. And that's in the edit bay now and just kind of like pretty close, although we decided to give ourselves more time rather than try to meet some of the more recent deadlines. So I think that'll be like a next year kind of rounds for getting that out to the festival circuit. And then,
yeah. And I mean, is there really a rush on that stuff? If your thing's not like topical about something that's like a current event happening.
No, just excitement.
Yeah. Great. Of course. Yeah. Oh, well, of course, but you don't want to get in the old color correct.
Yes.
Like, ooh, if we had just had that one last second.
Totally. And the time that we've given ourselves with this, there's a lot to be done with creative kind of choices in the post process with this, because it's almost a silent film. There's dialogue in the beginning and end, but there's no dialogue in the middle. And then,
oh, I love
and then,
that.
Yeah, it's really fun to be able to take our time and craft that now.
Great. So good. Sinking your teeth into it now.
Yeah.
Good.
Really fun.
I love that.
And then doing another with Kristen Studdard, I think.
Yes. I know her, of course. Yes.
From UCB. Ages ago. Brought me a script. And these are like opportunities where I'm so grateful for, where like I get to get more reps in. These are budgeted films that are coming to me, scripts that like we get to kind of co-create together with these really talented ladies. And like, so far, you know, I'd love to just be able to keep making and directing shorts for folks that bring things. And then,
oh my God, you want to shoot something of mine?
Hell yeah.
Great. It'll be one of my music videos. The songs are, as we know, 30 seconds or less. I've been I just shot one on the weekend with Allison, last weekend with Allison Rich, and she directed it. And oh my God, what a good time. I think it's really going to turn out. We had such a good time.
The last one, remember?
HPV. Yes, that's right. You did.
You guys knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. I'm really excited for how this one's going to turn out. And you know what? Like, just to speak on what I had just said about sinking your teeth into something, it's just nice to have something to look forward to that's like kind of already done, in the sense that it's like no one can really bail because, well, we already shot it. So you're like, great, now we just got to put it together and this, because I always get nervous until I'm like on set doing the thing. I'm always like, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
something's gonna go wrong. Terrifying. And that's not being negative, that's more just like the curse of the industry, where you're like, no, but that does happen all the time. That happens. So it's one of those things. It's like, you want to play it cool, not get too excited. But then once you're like, I have the footage. It's like, great. Now we're cruising. You know what I mean?
Such a good feeling.
It's such a good feeling.
Once it's triple backed up.
Once it's trip B, guys, then we're cruising.
We're cruising. laughing, is what I would say.
We're laughing. Well, I think these are great things to look forward to because they're all things that you can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm in the theme of the podcast has been self-starting as of late. A lot of people addressing that and going through that. And it's just nice to be able to do something. I know it depends on other people with actors and crew and this and that. Of course, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're not waiting around. So you're not waiting for an audition that may or may not come. It's the idea that you're like, well, until somebody else is like, hey, we want you to come do this, I'm just going to keep going and doing it myself because what else is there to do? And but you're taking on big projects. I'm like talking about like, you know, maybe I write a 30-second piece and then I can it. Immediately. And then nobody sees it. I got so many of these, you guys. And one day I'm going to release the footage.
Let's shoot it so you can. No, I think, I mean, yeah, the small, they're all something. They're all moving, you know, boulders up the mountain a little bit. Eventually. Yeah. And it's just, I think as you are, like, we're in it for financial viability at some point, but I'm definitely in it to create. And that's been like the thing that I've been most focused on and determined to do is, you know, figure out how to care more about financial viability while pursuing creativity, like as the primary focus. It's so hard to just focus on the creating. I mean, that's been my problem in the past is being prolific in terms of the amount that I'm hungry to make. And
as I said, you're a content pusher outer, which yes, I made up. And I think you guys didn't realize I made it up, but I did. I know it sounds like a real word that people use all the time, but it's not. I know what you mean though, because if we're just bumping stuff out and we're not making money, it's like, well, is this just a hobby? Like it feels really weird, but you're like, I know it's not,
right.
But I need to focus. Like, how do I get money to make things? How do I make money from doing things? How do I, what do I put my money into? And it is hard to have that balance. And I think for a while it was becoming real money stuff for me. And then when things slowed down in the pandemic, I was like, you know what? At this point, I'm fucking grateful for an idea. Mm-hmm. You give me a good idea that I can get excited about. Right. And now I'm excited about it. But you have to still strategically, because people went so long without working, you have to go, how do I have this idea that I'm excited about? Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, how do I turn it into a cool bank account?
Yeah.
No, every project I have has its own bank account. So let's just say the offshores are filled with me. Each one has like $3. I'm like, we made a ton back from this.
There's an island in the Caribbean that basically just got receipts with Elena Johnson's name on it blowing around.
Yeah, if you guys like my web videos, just Venmo me $1. I know I have a Patreon. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a straight up Venmo of $1 if you like anything I've ever done. Send the money, and that's the only way I'm going to know.
Send the money.
I don't know my Venmo, but DM me. I'll give it to you guys.
Open the books, send the money. I mean, that's actually something I am excited about because Frogtown, you know, we've worked in this town as live performers for so long and not gotten paid a dime, but coming out of the pandemic, I was like, we got to figure out.
Because
we started charging, we were doing a free show. We used to feed people. Yeah. Like we used to make crock pots of chili and like bring the beers. And we did this like sort of community focused like free show for so long. But when we came back because of pandemic, like because of COVID restrictions, we started charging to be able to control the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And the goal then I was like immediately, how great would it be if we could pay comics? Well, it took a couple months because we were giving the earnings to Comedy Gives Back to give to comedians who needed it because we couldn't figure out the payment and taxes part of it, but now we've figured it out. So I'm so excited to be able to be, you know, co-producing a show
part of the solution,
actually paying comics now. I mean, that makes me so happy.
Oh my God, that's all I want. I just want to be able, it's like we just started the Patreon, but like my goal is to be able to like pay people handsomely for coming on and doing an episode. And speaking of, I'd love to get you on right away. We have former guests on, but I think it's fun to do a catch up after we just spoke quite recently. And, you know, we're not going to have a lot to say on the episode. It could be 5 minutes, could be seven tops, probably.
Whatever it is.
Okay. So what have you been up to since we talked? Truly not much. I haven't left your house. Oh, okay. Cool.
It got dark. The sun went down.
Oh my God. Yeah. It did. It really did. I didn't even like notice.
I love it because we're mesmerizing each other.
Because we're having such a beautiful time. So beautiful. Let me think if I have anything to look forward to. This. Look forward to this all day.
All day.
I had nothing else. This is it.
No, me too.
This podcast recording. This was like my big. Yeah, this was like my big. Like I'm ready to party. I love you know it. What I mean? I put on my shoulder padded bodysuit. My gold.
Gold bodysuit. Let me tell velour. You, friends at home, that when American Apparel was closing, you better believe I did. I'm sure everybody in town texted Alana that the gold jumpsuits were on sale.
And oh, yeah. Swooped. Huge swoop. What are you kidding me? Got right in there. And I said, listen, the people may not be supporting you guys anymore, but I'm supporting these jumpsuits. I'll see you later. I'll take whatever I want. Screw you guys. I'm out of here. Such a drastic opinion. Yeah, I don't, there's not, you know, I'm trying to find small things to be excited about these days to practice a little more gratitude. And I'd say the smallest thing that I've been excited about lately is my new maple coffee. Mm. So my quote from Trader Joe's, my question to you is, what's the smallest thing you're looking forward to? Because you said some pretty big projects.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like, that's like real looking forward to stuff. What's like a tiny thing? I know mine sounds dumb, but it is the maple coffee.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. I'm actually looking forward to getting back into practice with my meditation.
Okay. Because, what's that look like?
Well, I did do like TM training at one point, like randomly. I used to be very against
it. Wait, what's that mean?
Transcendental meditation.
Oh, okay.
Where like they give you, they kind of charge a lot of money, but they give you a mantra. And I was like, what? They're charging you a lot of money for a mantra? That's insane. But then I later went to like one of their informational sessions. And it's like, there's just some science to meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some physiological realness that, does work and works very well for me. And, you know, particularly for like, you know, ADD brains and just sort of ordering things. And it's the most beneficial thing for me to practice. And they say to do it twice a day for 20 minutes. And I did that for a little bit. And then eventually I was down to one a day, but any amount is beneficial. And there's like smaller meditations you can do that are a minute to 5 minutes.
I did them on the app, Simple Habit, I think it's called. But what I want to know is did you do, cause I don't know a lot about the transcendental one. Do you it like, is it like guided or is it just you're sitting in the silence, just you or saying the mantra? Like what is that actually?
You're internally saying the mantra in quietly in your head, but that's the whole thing. The funny thing about transcendental meditation is like, there's some woo woo to it, but if you put that aside, there's some real science to it. And I think that the mantra I think breathing-based meditation does something similar, but the mantra has no meaning. It's just sort of sounds, right? They give it to you. And I think because it has no meaning, and the same thing with breathing, it's a little bit like a gong. It's just like striking a gong for, you know, internally. So the rhythm of that is what eventually allows you to disengage from involuntary thought, right? So it's like pretty straightforward, and the only thing
super straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least the experiences that I've had meditating, guided or unguided, whatever, it's like to have that focus, to create that gong, to whatever else you have, the breathing, all that stuff. It takes so much effort.
But I used to do a breath-based one that was a full transform body thing that I love, but it was a lot of work.
Maybe I'm not doing the right, like, because I was meditating and it was going great, and then it became very laborious for me, and I was like, and I was trying to do it at the beginning of the pandemic and everything, and I couldn't focus, obviously, and I'm sure it would have really helped me, but I really couldn't focus. And then I kept going on and off and talked about it on the podcast a lot, but just having a hard time latching. It just feels like there's too much.
Yeah. Well, my therapist, who I really, really think is like the bomb and is sort of a technician, like she's like very, very practical, pragmatic, like action-based, what you can do. Mm-hmm. And she's a clinician. And so I really like everything she says and does. And she's like, she's not really that into TM because it's labor intensive. She's like, 1 minute, you know, 5 minutes, 1 minute to work up to 5 minutes.
That's what I'm talking about.
And she's a real advocate for like finding, you know, something that is just like, the one thing I like about TM is that they teach, there's no issue with thoughts. there's nothing wrong with thinking. There's nothing wrong. You just, you have the thoughts, and then you come, and then you, when you realize you're thinking about lunch or whatever, you come back to the mantra.
Yeah.
And that practice is, so it makes it feel not too tedious.
Yeah. I kind of got into on that app, cause some would just be music, some would be silence, and then there would be gong noises and, going at whatever pace. But they had these little coaching sessions, and they'd be like 5 minutes. It'd be like whatever topics you could like type in, a topic like anxiety and, or relationship or whatever, parenting, anything you want. And, I really got into them because it was just like little mini, not even like inspirational, but just more possible, just more like, it's possible you're feeling this now or you're in this now, but it's like it, any outcome is possible. You can turn it around. That's like what I felt like after all the coaching was, all of them were like, you can turn it around. Cause if I'm here, something needs to be turned around. Yeah. So it's like, even if it's a small turnaround where you're like, I meditate in the morning, set myself straight for the day and away we go. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or if it's like, I'm in a life crisis right now and I'm not managing stress well and I don't sleep and whatever else. I like what your therapist is saying though, of the 1 to 5 to whatever build, because I took a course once, and what is it? Mindfulness as well. And man, they get you in there. It was 3 hours every Sunday. And I was like, I'm in too deep. Like it was like, they just throw you in. And I was like, and I didn't go back. And I was like, this is why we're having a hard time teaching these things, because the big doses. Yeah. It's too much to take in.
Yeah. Even the TM twice a day for 20 minutes, too much.
It's too much. And then you get stressed out, and imagine having meditation on the to-do list. Isn't that like calendar? Yeah. isn't that like go against all of it? Like the whole point is like, it's the one thing that's, that's not supposed to be a to-do.
Pull over my car right here. And in the beginning I was. And, and they say there's like triple benefit for doing it twice a day or whatever. But I was like, I even said at the time in the training, I was like, I want to feel like I'm not going to be okay if I don't get the second one or whatever.
That's a problem I had too. And I have with journaling where you're like, I didn't stick to the routine. I didn't do it. And now it's not going to be a good day. And it's like, well, every day's not the same.
I have an offering.
Ooh, money.
Because this is something I almost always remember, and then I'll get into periods where I forget as well, but it is what I have to remember, and it's something that is easily shareable, which is that when I wake up in the morning, if I remember to do this, before I get up, it doesn't even have to be a minute. Before I get up, if I like, I kind of put my thumbs on my, you know, third eye area and put pressure so I can like try to get in there, but try to have gratitude for something. It could be anything, a concept, the fact that we have legs, that your dog, you know, your dogs, the dogs exist, that we evolved, or dads, or your dad, or your mom, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
The female energy, like anything. So just one thing, and try to have gratitude, but not, you can't be thinking I'm thankful. It's not the thought, it's the feeling. And it takes a second, but it's like, sometimes that is as effective as 5 minutes, 20 minutes.
You're not saying I'm thankful. You're just like, you're pressing up against, and you're just feeling gratitude towards something.
Sit with it until you actually experience it. Kind of happens.
Emily, you've moved so far away from the mic. but just so everyone knows, she's doing the most accurate demonstration of it right now.
But it's like, you can, when you get to the sensation of gratitude versus the concept or thought, it's like, it kind of feels a little bit like a warmth or tingliness in your solar plexus or something.
That's interesting.
You can feel it. You can feel the difference. Like, and it you do have to like kind of try for a second, but it's not like, it's just about sliding from the concept of it into the feeling of like, I actually feel very grateful for this thing.
I want to try that tomorrow, because I do write out a gratitude list when I journal, but you know, sometimes it's going through the motions. You're like, oh, I'm grateful for my dog. I'm grateful for this. Right. And then I'm like, I'm just making a list. And my heart's not always in it unless it's like a current update. Like if I got some sort of a family update, I'd be like, oh my God, there's great news. Or I'm grateful for that. Right. But otherwise it's almost, monotonous and I want to try this. In fact, I will try it tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. and I'll report back. I wake up at 6. You'll get the text the second I do it. No. 6:01. You said it doesn't even have to be a minute.
It can be really, really quick, and it's one thing. And instead of like glossing over, the mechanics of writing out thing after thing, it's one thing. And I just have better days.
Okay. That's the challenge I'm taking from you. I have a challenge for you now before we wrap up. This is my challenge for you. You need to, when you wake up, look in the mirror, have a laugh about something.
Yes.
Hold the smile for 10 seconds, longer than you would. Like, you look in the mirror, you find something to laugh at. Not your face, not like making fun of your face. That's not what I mean. Something you're thinking of, whatever. And hold the smile for an extra 10 seconds. Tell me if you feel any different afterwards after you do it to start your morning. That was a therapist tip I was given, was like, just hold the smile for 10 seconds. It's going to feel so weird. But they were like, but just physically hold the smile of capturing a laugh a little bit more.
Wow.
And it does make you feel a bit better. It sounds so stupid, but it really does. Like, you're kind of like, huh, when you walk out. Well, and no, I say it in the morning.
This is a gift for me. Like, in terms of my space and where I'm at. And very, very accurate. Like, meaning this connects to a lot of different things that this is going to be really helpful for.
Emily, you started the podcast at a joyful 9. How are you feeling now on a scale of 1 to 10? I accept all numbers. I even accept sentences. If that's all you've got for me is a long sentence.
I'm feeling infinite.
Ooh! Cap it at that. What is your social media? Let's get out on a high note. I know what I'm smiling about tomorrow.
Yes, baby. It's Emily Maya Mills everywhere. All three names, Emily Maya Mills.
Old Lady Mills. If you guys want to follow, it's actually oldladymills.com.
Yes.
.com. At Twitter. If you guys want to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana_Johnson on Twitter. And please find us on Patreon and subscribe. We've got all kinds of fun tiers and you deserve to be a part of them. Self Esteem Party on Patreon. Emily, thank you so much.
You are one of my heroes.
It's so dark. I barely know you're here.
I can't see your eyes. I can't see your eyes.
Meet me in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself.